Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold him come, offspring of a virgin, veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail incarnate deity, pleased with men as men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn.
Stars are brightly shining, it is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and narrow pining, till he appears and soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks the night.
much for singing with us this evening. Oh, I did it. I was going to try to catch myself. This evening, go ahead and have a seat. At this time, though, kiddos, if you would like to come forward, we have a special story for you, and Miss Kelly is going to read. So come on up. Aaliyah and Ellie are going to help you out. You can go ahead and come on out and have a seat. All right. Put your listening ears on, and if you want to turn around, you can turn around and look at Miss Kelly.
Come on up.
Come on up, come on up.
All right. Are you ready? We're going to read The First Christmas Night. Okay. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Isaiah 9:6. All right. And if you would like, you can look up there, and that's where the story will be. 'Twas the very first Christmas when all through the town not a creature was stirring, there was not a sound. The moon shining bright in the heavens so high gave luster of midday to the Bethlehem sky. The animals were nestled in warm, cozy places with looks of contentment on each of their faces. And Mary and Joseph, so tired from the road, had just settled in to the humble abode. And then in the stable, a baby's first cry, peace on earth, goodwill, redemption is nigh. He had not a crib, but a manger instead. The tiny new baby laid down his sweet head. Mary looked down at his cute little nose and silently counted 10 fingers, 10 toes. As shepherds kept watch on a small nearby hill, their sheep were all silent and sleepy and still. When suddenly in the sky there arose such a sight, one angel, then many, appeared in the night. The heavens rejoiced as their story unfurled. A baby, a savior, had been born to the world. So the shepherds arose to go search for the place, to get a close look at the baby's sweet face. Then out of the east there came royalty, whose mission was finding the Savior, you see. When finally they found the babe they had sought, gold, frankincense, and myrrh were the gifts they had brought. So the wise men bowed down and praised his sweet name. Soon all those who heard would rejoice that he came. And now we that know can say with delight, Jesus was born that first Christmas night. That's it. Thank you for coming up here with me.
Say thank you, Miss Kelly. All right, as the kiddos find their way back to those that they came here with, we're going to go ahead and we're going to sing another song. And this next song, as we get ready to do this, I just want to just remind you, I know a lot of people come from different places as far as where they are emotionally and spiritually at this time of year. And I just love this song because it's just a reminder that you don't have to come to God perfect. None of us are. And you don't have to come to him with everything figured out. You just have to show up, come to him, and let him just work in your life and let him see who you are. And that way you can see the love he has. He loves you right where you are. And the changes that he can make in your life are just beautiful. And I just love that we get a chance to sing this song together and just remember the love God has for us. If you would stand and sing this song with us.
Oh, come, all you unfaithful, come. Weak and unstable, come. No, you are not alone. Oh, come, barren and weak. see what your God has done. Christ is born. Christ is born. Christ is born for
us. You may have a seat.
Has anybody told anybody good morning yet today? All right. I got word that I said this morning already in my announcements just a little earlier. I about said this morning again. So my count is one. If anybody's keeping track, you can let me know afterwards, and we'll see how many I get up to by the time this is over. Anyways, thank you again so much for being here. Thank you for spending Christmas Eve here with us. If you call Capital City Church home, if you're a friend, if you're a family member that's here, we're so glad to see you here. And I just want to take a little bit of time here tonight and celebrate the true reason for Christmas, to take a moment for us and to remember the time that God sent his son. He stepped into this world as a baby boy, Jesus. And so that's what we're going to do here tonight. We're going to be talking about how he is the light that stepped into the darkness. So we're going to start by reading the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read it for you. You can follow along on the screens. And it says, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in clothes. She placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things that, for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. For so many of us, this is a familiar story, right? We've heard it before, we've sung it, we've displayed it in nativities around our houses year after year. But also sometimes the familiarity of the story can lead to us missing just how world-changing this event was, not just on a global level either, but also on a personal level for each and every one of us. Jesus left heaven. He left a perfect place. He left proximity to God, his Father. He left a place of no sadness, no sickness, no pain, no death to come here. He left a place of perfect light to come down to this broken world with a mission to live a perfect life, to ultimately go and pay a price that makes a way for us to be able to have hope and joy and purpose, to be able to have a light that we shine, and ultimately to one day be able to spend the rest of our lives in heaven with him. The people at the time of Jesus's birth were living in a time of darkness because we live in this world that's fallen and broken. And you and I as well are living in kind of a dark world, a world that has conflict and sickness and pain and all of the things that go on. And Jesus comes onto the scene with this message of life, this message of joy for all of the people, which is great news if you ask me, because the darkness isn't much fun. It distorts things, right? It can be anxiety-inducing. It can be hard to see what your next step is as you walk through the dark. It hides things. If you've ever walked around your house, you've experienced this before at night, right? Like, you know the chairs over there, so you're probably not gonna run into that, but man, I sure hope that coffee table is where I left it and it doesn't take out my knee, or I'm pretty sure I made it around this corner and I'm not gonna lose a pinky toe on this one. We have these moments. If you were to walk around my house at night, I would give you extreme caution because you are going to run into a Lego or a Hot Wheel car somewhere along your path. So with every step, you'll want to test the waters and see where it is that that step is going. The darkness, it causes us to slow down. It causes us to reach out, to feel where it is that we're going. Things that were so familiar to us become unfamiliar. Our own homes that we live in every day. And tonight, maybe you find yourself in a part of that story. Maybe you're carrying something heavy. Feel like you're on your own. Uncertainty, loss, stress, loneliness, questions, unknowns. And Christmas is a time that we can lean into this reminder that we're not alone in that darkness, that Jesus refuses to leave us there, even while we're here on this earth. Now, I really struggled with this idea of talking about darkness in this, because it's Christmas, right? We're supposed to be merry and bright and cheerful and joyful and all of those things. But I had this epiphany as I was thinking about this. I was thinking, if I had my iPhone flashlight out and I turned it on right now, I would have very little appreciation for that light, right? This room is already well lit. I don't need that light. It's almost worthless. It doesn't matter that it's even there. But if I find myself on the side of the road tonight, or if I find myself in a dark room, all of a sudden that little light that seemed so worthless now has so much meaning. It brings comfort. It gives direction to where I'm trying to go, what I'm trying to do, because I have context to the darkness. And so while tonight we're gonna end on a positive note, it's gonna be a positive night and we're here to celebrate a birthday, I wanted to also bring some context to the darkness so that we can see the brightness of the light that is Jesus. The original Christmas that Jesus, when Jesus was born, he was born into darkness. There was political unrest going on. It was a tense time politically. Economically, people were pressured. There was a lot going on there. Spiritually, people were hungry. God had been silent for hundreds of years before this moment. Even Mary and Joseph, right? They were exhausted. They were displaced. They've been misunderstood. They were turned away from their own shelter. So the darkness, even when in Jesus' birth, it wasn't a metaphor. It was quite literally a dark time that he was born into. And because their world is broken, as I mentioned earlier, it still can be a dark time for us. But right when the night felt the longest, right when things felt like they couldn't get any darker, heaven breaks through with an incredible announcement. But that announcement, it goes to people who are pretty unincredible. It goes to shepherds, ordinary people, overlooked people, outcast people, unqualified people is who the message of Jesus, the message of a savior, the message of joy for all people gets delivered to. From the beginning, God's showing us his heart that there's no one too low, there's no one too invisible, there's no one too outside of the picture for me, for my gift of joy, hope, purpose, life, and light. And so he sets up the stage and says, I'm gonna shine light right where you are, in the mess, in the dark, in the hard things, in the joyful things, my light is going to shine here. Which means each and every one of us are qualified to receive the gift that he has, the gift that he has for us. And that message that he brings, the message of joy for all, the message of a savior that's coming, it's a powerful message because it would have been easy for a God to stay distant, to scream down instructions and even good news and celebration from heaven. But instead, he chose to come down here to earth. I want to read one more perspective of the birth story of Jesus, sort of. It's in the book of John, John chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. And it says, in the beginning, and this beginning that John's talking about, it's like the beginning, like before creation, before time, before all the things. He goes, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word here is describing Jesus. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him, nothing that was made has been made. In him was life, and that life was light to all of mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Later on in verse 14 of that same chapter, John talks about how the Word became flesh, that's the birth of Jesus, came here and dwelt among us. Us humans. He put on real human skin and came here as a baby and lived the life. He was hungry and he went through temptation and he went through joy and he went through all of the things that are you and my human experience. And it's cool because he received the name of Emmanuel, which means God with us. He didn't have to stay a distant God giving us all of the directions to life, which would probably be helpful, but instead he came and experienced it firsthand and says, I know what you're going through, and here's a way to have light through it. But what I want to focus on is verse 5 here. It's such an encouragement to me. I hope it's an encouragement to you as we wrap this up. It says that the light shines. I love the present tense of that. The light shines, not the light is going to shine someday, it's gonna be really great. And not the light shined like back in the good old days, that's when the light was really good and it was shining. And not that the light's like trying to shine, but that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness cannot overcome it. And yes, darkness, it's loud, it's real, it's heavy. Many of us go through it. The holidays don't always help that situation. But also, In light of Jesus, the darkness is powerless. In light of Jesus, the darkness can be temporary. In light of Jesus, it has to flee. It can't stay because he is stronger than the darkness. So maybe tonight you find yourself feeling like the shepherds. You're doing your thing, right? You're showing up to work. You're checking off the boxes. You're going through the motions, not expecting much. And maybe God has all of a sudden got your attention. Maybe in a good way. Maybe not in a good way. Maybe you find yourself like Mary and Joseph, and this year has been a lot, and the holidays are a lot, and there's so much going on, and so you find yourself tired, stretched, overwhelmed, wondering where's God in this hamster wheel chaos that's continuing to spin, and I just want to get off this ride. Maybe you find yourself just kind of complacent. What's the point, right? Where's my purpose? Where's my hope? How can I have joy? Wherever you may find yourself, the truth remains the same for all of us. And that's that Jesus has come for you. That he's come for you the way that you are. Not the cleaned up version of you, not the Instagram filtered version of you, but you and all the mess and all the skills and talents and abilities and everything that may make up you. So we're gonna end the service tonight with a candlelight. I hope all of you did get candles. Now would be a time to maybe run out and grab one if you didn't. But as you do, I want you to think about the light of Jesus and what it could represent, what this candle could represent for you. Maybe there's a place in your life that you're carrying that heavy weight, a place in your life that needs his light. Maybe it's a relationship, a worry, something that's uncertain. I don't know what it may be, but maybe for you that candle can represent a silent prayer of, Jesus, I need you to shine here. I need you to shine in this area of my life. But for others of you, maybe the candle can represent something else. Maybe it can represent a reminder that ultimately the light of Jesus isn't something we just stand and look at, because that's really easy for us to do, but it's a light that is within us. It's a light that we carry. It's a light that we go forward with. And so I invite you to have that as your reminder. Ashley's gonna come out and she's gonna lead us in the singing of Silent Night. And we are gonna light our candles. There are several people that are out here that can light a candle and then take it and pass it on to the next person. When we're finished singing, I will end up coming back and closing out our service.
You can all have lit candles. I'm standing in a breeze, so. Go ahead, if you want to stand with me, let's sing together.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother child.
So as we blow out our candles tonight, know that the flame goes out here in this room, but the light of Jesus continues to shine through you. So go and shine Jesus' light in your relationships, in your homes, in your jobs, in your workplace. Thank you so much for being here, and you are dismissed. Merry Christmas.